Have you ever wondered about taking a truly inspiring and rewarding trip to Israel? Or maybe you've already taken a trip, but you'd like to go a little bit deeper. Please join us. This is Michael Medved. We're leading a tour to Israel in September of 2019, and we want you to come along. It's under the auspices of Discovery Institute. It will cover both the Holy Land and the modern state, everything from high-tech to ancient archaeology, and also with a real focus on the spiritual meaning and significance of what the state of Israel means. Come join us and find out all about it by going to discovery.org/Israel2019. I'm going to be going together with George Gilder on technology, Steve Meyer on science, and me, Michael Medved, talking about country and culture. Go to discovery.org/Israel2019.
Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about evolution and intelligent design. I'm your host today, Mike Keyes. We've got J.P. Moreland with us today, distinguished professor of philosophy at Biola University, and also a fellow of Discovery Institute. Now, he's authored somewhere around 100 books that has edited, contributed papers to, or authored, including titles like Naturalism, A Critical Analysis. He's just come out with a new book called Scientism and Secularism, Learning to Respond to a Dangerous Ideology. Welcome, JP, to talk to me about your book.
It's such a joy to be with you, Michael, and to reconnect with you, my dear friend.
You know, even though you and I are colleagues by means of Discovery Institute and Biola University, we rarely get to see each other. That's just not right, JP.
No, it's not. It's sad. But we've always had a good friendship connection, haven't we?
Yeah, it was good to see you last summer when I was in town briefly to teach at Biola's master's program in science and religion, which you helped to, you know, with the inspiration to get that going, getting behind John Bloom. And thanks so much for that, because I love teaching in that program.
Well, thank you for helping us with it, my brother.
Let's go back in time a bit, JP. Imagine you're an undergraduate, you're at the University of Missouri, which you were, pursuing a degree, BS in chemistry. Now, at that time, were you a very religious person?
Yes and no. Not until my junior year. I'd been raised in a liberal Methodist church, and I believed there was a God, and Jesus was in some way special, but it wasn't anything in my life. And then Campus Crusade for Christ came by my fraternity house in November my junior year. This is my 50th anniversary as a Christian. And shared the gospel and gave an intellectual case that the gospels were reliable. And I thought, darn, this looks like it may very well be true. I think I'm going to try it and see if anything happens. And the rest is history.
Okay, so now you're a strong person of faith. Ah, this means you despise science now. At least some people would like to dismiss your book this way, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but that's pretty straw man in its nature. I love science. I benefit from it. I respect it. And I am so grateful for science. But what the problem is something called scientism. And I despise that because it hurts people very badly, including the attempt to raise children well. And so I wrote a book against scientism, but not science, which I make that clear in the book.
Yeah, we all know what science is, roughly the attempt to explain nature, and it makes careful observations, often experiments. But what is scientism?
Well, that's a good question. Scientism is actually a position in philosophy, more specifically, an epistemological view about the nature of knowledge and its limits. And scientism says that the only way, or at least the vastly superior way, of knowing reality comes through the hard sciences, physics, chemistry, biology, neuroscience. If something has been tested and accepted in one of those fields, we know it's true and it accurately describes reality. Everything else, including theological claims, philosophical, ethical claims, political claims, are simply items of blind, arbitrary faith and emotion and expressions of private opinion that nobody can know is true. I was talking to somebody the other day who was witnessing to a person and given a case for God's existence. And the person said, look, I don't know if God exists, and you don't either, because you can't prove this scientifically. Well, his idea was the only way that you can know something is if you can prove it scientifically. And that is scientism.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Is scientism just a philosophical theory about scientific knowledge, or is it also a philosophical theory about all kinds of knowledge? You've already hinted at this, but why don't you unpack that a bit more?
That's a great question, Mike. It is actually a theory about all knowledge. And it is the view that if you look at knowledge, the only place we find it is in the hard sciences. Mm-hmm. When we look at other fields of endeavor that make claims that they assert are true to reality, these claims simply cannot be known one way or the other. And so knowledge is limited to the hard sciences. And in the book, Michael, what I try to do is to show what scientism is very, very carefully and clearly, why it's dangerous and we should know about it. We ought to be able to recognize it when it's present, and then how to refute it. What is wrong with scientism, and what is it that really makes it a foolish thing to believe, though it is in the drinking water today?
Yeah, exactly. Now, just to alert our listeners, we've been fighting a humming sound on the internet. Now, is that just my private opinion, or are there good scientific reasons to believe there's something going on the internet today that is frustrating our conversation? Hopefully our editors will know enough about science and technology to edit it out. But a lot of people want to say that all other kinds of things are just preferences, as you say. And you've identified this as really a self-refuting argument. Now, why don't you explain a bit how it is that scientism defeats itself from the get-go? How's that go?
Well, yes. Some assertions that people make are false because the facts don't harmonize with them. If I made the statement, there are 10 unicorns in my backyard, that statement would be false because there aren't that many unicorns in my backyard.
Yeah.
Some assertions are false because they make themselves false. Now, how do they do that? They set up the statement, asserts a standard of acceptability for rationality and truth, and the statement doesn't live up to its own assertion. I'll give you an example. The statement, there are no sentences longer than 3 words, is self-refuting because it sets up a statement about the truth of the matter regarding all assertions, mm-hmm. including itself, and it doesn't live up to its own truth claim.
Is that kind of like sitting on a branch and then sawing it off?
It is exactly like that. And it's like the statement, there are no truths, I do not exist, I can't utter a word of English. These are all self-refuting. And the thing about a self-refuting statement, Michael, is that no amount of further research will show that they turned out to be true instead of false. So it's not as though scientism is self-refuting and so it's false, and I'll show why it's self-refuting in a minute, but look, 50 years of research, maybe we'll discover that it turns out to be true after all. No, scientism is necessarily false, just like 2 + 2 is equal to a grapefruit.
Right.
It can't possibly be true. Now, why is scientism false? The strong version of scientism says that science is the only way that we can know and have truth about reality. Well, that statement itself cannot be tested in the hard sciences in any kind of way. And so it is actually a philosophical claim that says that no philosophical claims can be known or true. And the statement, therefore, refutes itself. I actually was speaking at a home of a couple of professors in the medical school of a prominent university who invited about 20 to 25 of their atheist colleagues and friends to hear a talk on Does God Exist? I was warned that there was going to be one PhD in physics from Johns Hopkins, who was an engineer and was, you know, an older gentleman who hated Christianity, and he was going to be coming. And so I should look out because he was a very obnoxious person. Well, I noticed an older gentleman walk in the door while I was at the hors d'oeuvre table before the meeting began. He walks up to me and says, "Well, I presume you're Professor Moreland." "Oh, yes," and we introduced ourselves, and he said, "You know, I used to be very interested in philosophy and theology until I matured intellectually, because I was interested as a teenager. But when I matured intellectually, I realized that if you can't quantify your data and test it empirically in the laboratory, it's nothing but a bunch of hot air and idle opinion. And you can only know things in physics and in the hard sciences. I kid you not."
Yeah, implication. The guy I'm talking with, J.P. Moreland, is childish. That's what he was implying, huh?
That's exactly, and out of touch with the facts. Well, yeah. I let him go for about 2 or 3 minutes, and I interrupted him, and I said, "Sir, I've got a problem, and I wish you could help me with it. You claim that the only way we can know things is through the hard sciences, and everything else is just kind of hot air and idle opinion. But you've made 20 or 30 assertions in the last few minutes, and I can't think of a single one of them that could be quantified and tested empirically in a science laboratory. If I'm wrong, tell me which assertion you made that could be so tested. But see, if I'm right, I've got a dilemma, because the dilemma is that what you've been doing for the last 2 or 3 minutes is nothing but asserting hot air and idle opinion and wasting our time."
Okay.
Well, he had never thought of that.
Yeah.
And it was pretty devastating for him, honestly.
And I'm sure you did it in a nice way, JP.
Oh, well, of course.
Okay, and it's been nice to talk to you up to this point. Now, our conversation is going to end abruptly here, but we're going to continue this in our next episode. So thanks for joining us up to this point, JP.
Wonderful to be with you.
This is Mike Keyes. Thanks for joining us at ID the Future.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.